Hello and welcome to Talking Talkies. We're your hosts, Benny.
And Mina.
And thank you for joining us. Now, before we get into the episode, we usually do a bit of housekeeping where we ask you to please be sure to click the follow button so that you get an update whenever we drop a new episode. And also give us a rating on your podcast platform of choice so that we can get some visibility, get more listeners in. And before we get into the movie that we're going to be talking about today, we do have a special guest for this episode of a special movie. And it's someone that I think Meenal should probably introduce because I believe she's very close to this person. So Meenal, who is our guest for this episode today?
Keeping in theme of the movie, I thought it was quite appropriate to have my husband Amit join us for this special episode. And Amit, for the listeners, is a great compere. He's been comparing since forever. I've known him in college. He does a lot of stage shows here in London. He's also ECB, England Cricket Board qualified cricket umpire. So he's been doing that for 9 years since we've moved here. He's moving into his 10th season. And as a professional, he's a marketing professional. And have I got everything about you right, Amit?
Hey, hello, everyone. Yeah, you've got pretty much everything right. But I'm pretty worried about the way you started off the introduction, saying, looking at the theme of the movie, I have decided to include you. I'm not sure in what picture I'm going to be painted on.
Which person you're referring to when you say the theme of the movie?
I mean, am I the bad guy or am I the others who kind of make the movie better? Yeah, let's see.
We'll see how the discussion goes.
I think after all these years together, you should know, you should have an idea which one it is. But Amit, welcome to the podcast. And did Meenal have to like force you to come onto the podcast, or were you actually interested in talking about this movie?
Well, this particular movie, no forcing at all. I mean, we saw the movie together and we were totally blown away by it immediately. A lot of people had been giving us feedback about go and watch this movie for a long time. Yeah. And at the moment it, so here, I don't think it stayed in the movie theaters for a very small time. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't catch up on it. And then when it came on to Netflix, I said, we're not missing this. And everything about the movie kind of struck. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note at this point that this is also our first listener request.
Yes.
for a movie to be discussed on this podcast. And so very glad to do it. I'm glad that I enjoyed it in the first place, because that makes it easier to want to talk about it, just like you, Amit. So yes, for our listeners, I mean, if you have seen the podcast description, you know which movie we're going to be talking about. It's a movie that I watched 3 times in the last 2 weeks, which is...
Wow.
Which has never been done before by me. So I'm really excited to talk about it because there's just so much. It's been critically and commercially loved. It's a movie that everyone is talking about, especially in India. And so I'm excited to do this episode. And so the movie we're going to be talking about today is Lapata Ladies.
Oh, bhag.
Sir, ye hamra dost hai, Deepak Kumar. Kal raat ko vida kara ke wapas laut raha tha, to rasta mein iski biwi kho gayi sir.
Kaise hue? Matne saath se try kar rahe hain. Sasuri khoi hai nahi rahi hai.
Hey, ladki.
Kho gayi ho. ऐसा दुर्घटना तो पहली बार सुने हम।
घर पहुंच के जो देखा कि जिसको हम अपने साथ ले आया हूं, वो हमारी दुल्हन फूल नहीं थी।
कौन?
पुष्पा रानी। So before we dive into the episode, a little bit background about this movie and its plot summary. Lapata Ladies is a 2024 Hindi Bollywood comedy drama film that is set in rural India of 2001. It tells the tale of two new brides who get mixed up during their train travel and end up in different situations. The movie is directed by Kiran Rao, whose last directorial venture was Dhobi Ghat, or internationally it was released as Mumbai Diaries, in 2011. Before that, she's been an assistant director to Ashutosh Govarkar for Lagaan and Swades, and Meera Nair for Monsoon Wedding, all critically acclaimed successful films, which I highly recommend our listeners to watch. The film is produced by Amar Khan Productions, which has a great filmography. Lagaan, Tare Zameen Par, Dangal, Delhi Belly, Jaane Tu Ya Jaane Na, Peepli Life. The film stars two debutants, Pratibha Ranta, who plays Jaya, and Nitanshi Goel as Phool, as the two brides who get mixed up. Sparsh Srivastav of Jamtara TV series fame plays the groom Deepak. The other key supporting cast members include Chaya Kadam, who plays Mai, the tea shop owner. She's an established actress in Marathi films and theatre industry. Ravi Kishan as the inspector, who after not so promising career in 90s in Bollywood movies, went on to become a superstar in Bhojpuri films. And now he has re-established himself doing character roles in Bollywood. Geeta Agarwal Sharma, you all should be familiar with this name by now because we recently saw her as the mother in 12th Fail and also in Fighter. She is who I now call the Reema Lagu of 2010 films. The plot summary of Lapata Ladies. Like I said, the film is set in rural India in a fictional state called Nirmal Pradesh. The year is 2001. Two brides are traveling with their respective grooms in a train, and there are many more newlywed couples in the same compartment. As was is the tradition, the brides are in similar red saris, which is the bridal attire in India for most brides, and they have a veil pulled over their faces. One of the grooms gets off at the station at night with the wrong bride, and chaos ensues.
And do the two brides get back to their rightful destinations? Right?
That is what we're going to talk and find about.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we need to talk about how we all ended up watching this film, or, you know, how, what led to us individually getting to see this film. Obviously, I'll start. I mean, I've seen this, I've seen like the trailer, I had seen the trailer and kind of heard talks about the film and how it's like a very fun, quirky, but also kind of like got a nice message and all of that. But the thing is, there are so many movies and TV shows these days. And, you know, like many people, you know, we have content from like India and, you know, we have British shows, American shows, movies. And in our case, we also have K-drama. So it's like, yes, there's just too much. We have to be very, very selective. And in my case, I very quickly glanced at it. I didn't recognize anybody. And the story didn't really jump out to me, like the plot synopsis. I was like, okay, it'll be funny, but I don't know if I will want to watch it. But then, like most things in my life, Mino will come back and say, you have to watch this. And then I'm like, okay, now I will set some time to watch this. And I mean, you also mentioned that it was... was it your cousin or someone?
Yes, it was,
who
it
I'd
was
recommend?
Our cousin. It was Amit's cousin, actually, Mitali, okay, who wrote to me that, Meena Didi, you have to watch Lapata Ladies. Have you watched it? I'm sure you're going to love it. And I kept thinking maybe because I had seen the trailer and it appeared very quirky. And I thought maybe it's this take on Comedy of Errors by Shakespeare. Okay, I thought maybe that's where it's headed because of these two brides being the central characters. I said, okay, I definitely want to watch it. But when she kept insisting, I realized that probably there must be something else in that film that's going to catch my eye. And those who've known me since childhood, who know me even now, they know why I would love this film. And we'll get to it because it is the central theme of the movie. And that's how we missed it. So in theaters, like Amit said earlier, I think it just played for like 2 weeks or something. So we were away and we didn't get time to watch it in the theaters. And Amit was like, we have to watch it when it comes on streaming. So the moment it dropped on streaming, I'm like, dude, we're watching it.
In fact, a couple of times I tried to remind Meenal to watch this movie. I forgot the name of the movie. I started saying God knows what all names. I just couldn't figure it out until it stuck in my head, okay, this is about some missing women, missing women, missing women. And then I started speaking about it, lapata ladies, lapata ladies. And so we had decided the moment it comes on any streaming platform, we are going to watch it immediately. The recommendations from India, from as my cousin and some others were so high that you must watch it. And I think that time we watched some other movie and they said, why did you waste time on that movie? I don't remember what it was. Did we go for another movie during the same time or just before that?
No. We went for Crew, which we enjoyed a lot, which is again has women at central as characters. They're the protagonists, but it's a heist film. It's a fun film,
Correct.
and so I loved it because I didn't know that I needed Tabu and Kareena on my screen together. I loved them in that movie. So I was praising it. I'm like, I completely want more Bollywood films. Make them with female protagonists. It's so much more fun. And that's when
Correct.
my cousin pinged me saying, Meenal Didi, you have to watch Lapata Ladies. I said, okay, it's on my list. I will definitely watch it when it hits the platform.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing about this film is it has so much heart. Like,
Amazing.
it's funny, right? Like, first of all, the central premise of the film, I mean, I guess if you wanted, you could make like a very dark and really sad film out of it, but at the same time, there is a way to make it a comedy. And we have seen those kind of films even in Hollywood before. But what I liked about this movie was it blended the kind of the humor, the more soulful, the more, philosophical kind of, like especially like people in different stages of their life, the things that they have gone through and how an incident, one incident where a case of a mistaken identity leads to so many people, their lives kind of almost like reevaluating the way that they've always been. And we'll get into that. So it kind of balances all of this humor with some, actual like relevant messaging today. And I think we can start off with that. Just discussion of the themes that it's trying to portray, because we've been used to a lot of preachy films, right? Especially in India. And most of them don't land well because they're very overtly preachy and nobody wants to sit in a theater or sit at like home watching a TV and then have being lectured to.
Correct.
Right. And I think the best kind of film, the best kind of any social messaging film is where it makes you think and makes you arrive at, whatever idea or a decision. And I think this film does that well. And we can even address some of the criticisms of the film. But yeah, what are the themes that stood out for you guys?
Amit, you should go first. You're the guest of honor.
One right from the first of all, the title itself, where Lapata Ladies, and then the kind of trailer in which we saw that the first thing which kind of first stood in terms of even watching it. And after we watched it, I think that stood out very much for me, how every single frame of that movie speaks about the lost women or the Lapata ladies. It speaks about whether it's the loss of whether they have lost their independence, whether they have lost their way of thinking, whether they have lost themselves. All of it gets encapsulated in the whole movie, in every single frame. Something or the other will always stand out. And if you keep watching that movie again and again, every time you happen to see something and you happen to relate it back to something, oh my God, this also conveyed that, and this also conveyed this. And I think it's there in one of the reviews, which say this is one of those very few movies which shows us and rather than telling us to do things. So it just shows us
Exactly.
this exists, and now you interpret how you want it to be. So it does not give you any kind of gyan, as they call it, okay, let's do this, let's do that, and everything. But it shows literally what those women are themselves doing it for themselves, and kind of then evolves over what everyone is doing around. So that kind of stuck with me.
So yeah, on similar lines, right? I felt very strongly about this film is that every dialogue that starts happening, when the female characters come on your screen, and it doesn't have to be the lead two, the two brides who are the lead characters, not just them, but all the women around them, who come on screen, even for a short period of time. Take the lady who is singing for the inspector to free her son, so that because the fine is shot by 10,000, and he says, okay, I'll reduce the fine if you can sing a song for me. So even that small scene is like where the mother is making, doing all that she can so that her son is set free. So it was, for me, it was how well Kiran Rao, and credit to the writer, Sneha Desai, and the story was by Biplab Goswami. All credit to all three of them. As to this could have been easily, like you said, Benny, a very dark film. It could have been easily a very preachy film, and they did nothing of that. They did nothing of that. They got you invested in the every character. And at any point, I was going, when a dialogue would come on screen, damn, I've gone through this. Damn, my friend's gone through this. Damn, my mother must have felt like this. This is why my, granny did not get along with my aunt, like they, because they were so stuck up in the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law cannot be friends. There are small dialogues that hit you where, as rightly Mai's character calls, we've been sold a fraud. A fraud has been sold to the women in the society that you have to come from a, you have to be from a respectable home. You have to listen to what the men tell you to do. This patriarchy is the fraud that we women have been sold. And for me, that just came out so convincing in this entire movie. And yeah, I think not every woman, every man should go watch this movie. That's my view. So, there was comparing back to Barbie Became a Rage because it was such a feminist movie, right? But I felt like Lapata Ladies took the core of rural India and has shown, because when you grow up in a city, I grew up in a city, I'm a complete city girl, and I've been very lucky and privileged. But rural India is still going through this. Women are still facing patriarchy, quite severe patriarchy, and the norms, and it's very hard to break away. And this movie has done it effortlessly, in my opinion, and in the most non-preachy manner I have seen any film do it.
You mentioned about the writing. I have to say that as much as I enjoyed the performances, the music, the story, the real MVP of this film for me was the writing.
Absolutely.
Because they elevated really a simple story, a simple premise, with, not any famous actors or actresses, just through dialogues and just through the writing of the situations. It was so sharp that when the first time I was watching it, I had to pause it to be like, just reflect on it. And I did jot down some, which we'll talk about again later. But I was just like, it's so well written. And I'm just curious about the process. I have to see this any.
Kiran has actually mentioned this in one of her interviews, that the
Okay.
original storyline was supposed to be sad. It was Biplab's story. And then she got in these two other people, Sneha Desai and Divyanandi Sharma. These are the people who actually introduced the comedy and the humor and slightly satire element into that whole story. So those are the two people who were responsible for changing or at least adapting that story in the way it has now come onto the screen.
I'm
And
so
I was
glad about
listening to
that.
her interview, Kiran Rao's, with Anupama Chopra, and she mentioned that, Benny, have you seen any of Hrishikesh Mukherjee films from the 70s and 80s?
No, I have
So,
not.
yeah. So for the listeners and hopefully those who watched a lot of Hindi films, Hrishikesh Mukherjee is no needs no introduction. He was famous for a slice of life, light-hearted movies
Beautiful.
about everyday common man and families. And Kiran Rao said, what I tried to do in Lapata Ladies is show optimism, show hope, keep the lightheartedness, that there is good around. We could have gone down the dark road, and I didn't want to do that because I wanted the film to be in the mold of Hrishikesh Mukherjee films, which you go to the theater, you get a social message out of it, but at the same time, you come out happy and optimistic and have laughed your heart out. And that was her approach to this film. And I think she aced it.
I have not
If
watched
Hrishikesh Mukherjee was
any.
there, he would be proud.
I was gonna say that even though I've not watched any of Hrishikesh Mukherjee's films, like the from what you're describing, I would say the Malayalam film industry makes a lot of movies like that. these days. They're
Right.
known for not doing like the very standard like masala films, like where the hero beats up like 10
Yeah.
people, you know, like a single-handedly, and it's all just like singing and dancing around trees. Like, no, they make slice of life films. That's like their USP right now. So, and I've enjoyed those, so I might give, you know, one of those films a look from the 70s. But I'm really glad that the writers and Kiran Rao decided to go the more comic
Yeah.
route, just for the reason you mentioned, you know, because if someone told me, okay, this movie, you know, it's about these brides getting interchanged, but it's kind of a serious film, it's dark and it's, you know, violence, abuse, all of that, I would not watch it.
Yeah.
Because, and this is from my personal thing, right? Because, okay, I have a lot of things going on in my life. When I watch a movie or a TV show, I want to be happy. I
Correct.
want to be optimistic
Absolutely.
about the world. I have two young daughters. Like, the last thing I want to see is anything that re references where women are being mistreated, like, especially
Correct.
young women are mistreated,
True.
or, you know, all of this. So I don't want to see anything like that, because that's not my idea of sitting back and relaxing. So I'm glad they went this route, because now I can be like, okay, it's a funny film. I mean, it's
Yes.
got like some serious undertones to it, some messages to it, but at the end of the day, it's lighthearted, it's optimistic, it's a feel-good film, and that's what a lot of people, I think, want today.
Yeah.
Because everyone is going through a lot of stuff in their lives, they want more happy films. So I'm really, really glad about the direction
And
of.
if you think about it, Benny, and we'll go probably talk through the characters, etc., when we get to that section. But honestly, barring one or two characters, there's nobody really evil or mean or cruel in this film. Random strangers show those characters kindness. Random strangers give them shelter. And I kept telling Amit, because the cynic in me is so awful, or probably because we are surrounded by such awful news all the time, when we were watching it, I was telling Amit, okay, at what point is this naive little girl going to get duped? Or at what time is she going to get attacked? Like, when is that going to happen? And it doesn't happen. And Amit can share his experiences because he's. So Nirmal Pradesh, I think, is based off Madhya Pradesh. I guess
So
that's
I
the
think,
setting.
and maybe because I started seeing symbolism everywhere in this movie, I started seeing it everywhere. So, for example, they chose Madhya Pradesh for a specific reason, so that literally the center of India, okay, kind of. It is kind of, so it should represent the whole of India in whichever way they want to. It still has northern influences, does not have too many, but that could be. Nirmal, in any case, is supposed to be nice, very serene, and all those things, which is why the name Nirmal also comes into this. The names of the three main characters also come from the same. Deepak is like light. That is why that is Deepak. Next is Phool, flower. So kind of representing, oh, she's very gentle and all that stuff. And how then she becomes. Jaya is victory. And that is why all those things come in. And Meenal's apprehension about the village, or not village, the railway station, she meets strangers and all. And I gave her an opposite view on that, because my experience of traveling through the hinterlands of Madhya Pradesh and Gujarat has been totally different. Random strangers on isolated train stations, on trains, have helped me. If they see I'm not eating, they will open up their tiffins and give it to me. These were the years about at least 15, 16 years back. And people used to do that even then. And that's where I identified a lot with it. So 2001 also for me kind of stuck with me, because that is when I actually started working or so. And I was there in those states. I was literally in Madhya Pradesh around 2001 or so. So I know what kind of people were there that time. How they would go out of their way to make certain things very easy for people. You see somebody alone, the first thing for them was to help them rather than look at anything else. So some of those things were very identifiable. This was much before the technology revolution hit us. And you will see it through a lot of things within the movie also. And they have shown that also beautifully. But that is how people would connect with people, at least in villages those times.
Yeah. So he kept assuring me throughout the movie, don't worry, this is how people are in villages. They're not out there to get you. And I was like, okay, I get it.
And I know for every movie like this, there's also like a very dark, violent gangster
Absolutely.
Of course.
drama or film set in rural West.
Of course, of
When
course.
I watched, what is that
Gangs of
Pankaj,
Wasseypur.
Gangs of Wasseypur, but more recently, Jaideep Alawat acted in that TV series, right? What is
Oh,
the
Patal Lok.
Patal?
Patal Lok. I watched that and I was like, man, this is very intense.
Very
I don't want
dark.
to travel to these parts of India. So that's why we need films like these, which are more balanced and showcase everything. So one of the things that stood for me, and I hope I don't get virtual chuckles for this, but in a movie about Lapata ladies, I was actually intrigued by the men. because
No,
you know,
they're very interesting characters, no doubt
they're
about it.
interesting. But they also give you get good perspectives, right? Like Deepak, for instance, he is. I was watching it with a friend for the second time, and at the start of the film, he was like unsure of Deepak at the character, whether he was going to be one of those. Because initially, like Phoole, when she's getting married, like they show she's a little bit like nervous or anxious, and he just seems very unfazed and just happy, right? And so there was the thing like, is he just going to be one of those people who doesn't really care about the bride, like her feelings or any of that? But then over the course of the film, you see what a gem this guy is. And he is, and he is a very, what's the right word? Like where he's like a very straight-laced character, right? He's not an extremely noble guy, and he's not an extremely evil guy. He's just like a very naive and innocent person. So he's almost like the person that you would compare all the other men in the film to. And they're all fascinating. His friends are all just like kind of like dumb, but like very good-natured people. Then you have his dad, who is like, he's a man of his times, like in the generation that he was. It's almost second nature to tell the woman to like just shut up, like because I'm talking. Kind of thing, especially in that first when Jaya is revealed and he's like trying to figure out and he doesn't like really take into view the opinion of his own wife. And then you have the inspector who is, at first this is all like a game to him before, towards the end of the film he realizes, or not realizes necessarily, but he understands the gravity of the situation and so on. Like, so all the men in this story, like how they react to the circumstances that the women are in, it's a good example of how men are today. Like, at the risk of saying not all men, you do get all kinds of men. Like, there are good men, there are bad men, and I think this movie did a good job of showing like all these different types. Like, even being ignorant or being naive is not something to be proud of. Kind of, along the lines of what Manjumai says in one line, like, it's not bad to be a fool, but you shouldn't be proud to be a
Proud of
fool.
being a fool.
I love the word that I have now learned, which is called a
Budbak.
budbak. I'm gonna use
Oh,
that.
yeah. It
So
sounds really good.
there is an Urdu word, ऐसी अहमकानी हरकतें क्यों करते हो, which is like why are you behaving like an idiot? Now it's
Yeah.
अहमक and budbak. Like this is going in my dictionary vocabulary.
Yeah. No, I mean that's why this is a very all-round film which addresses like the positives and also the negatives of each type of characteristic, right? Like you can be fully noble, you have to be world-wise too. You can't be fully innocent and naive, assuming everything is good and everything is perfect all the time. And for Phoole, like that's one of the things that, her character, which at the beginning it feels like a very generic one-note character who's just like knows nothing about the world, but then the art that she has from beginning to end is just like brilliant
Brilliant, yeah.
because all of that is being shattered, especially by her interaction with Manjumai. And then by the end of the film, she's really a different character.
Yeah.
So, this film has tackled so many different themes and like different topics in a very short span of time and did the best it could to not just make it not to not just be entertaining, but also to convey a message. So I definitely enjoyed that aspect of it too.
And to the extent this is hitting people, because I was listening again, I was watching a couple of cast interviews, and Ravi Kishan was saying that he visited some village or something, and he said that the women walked up and said, "I'm going to tell my daughter that she should be like fool. She should be a good housewife, and she should take care of the husband, but she needs to know that she has to be independent at the same time, and she can pursue her hobbies or whatever she wants to do. She should also be conscious of that." So he was mentioning, it's so nice to hear this coming, and if that's what the movie's doing for people, great.
Well, Mina, let me ask you this
Yeah.
because I just realized that there are two men in this discussion about, especially a movie about ladies, but
I mean, it's a
from
typical thing which will come back to us. Hopefully, we're discussing this with two men on the panel and
Yes,
women here.
exactly. So I want to make sure that, we get your perspective on what did you feel was like the movie's main theme, right? I mean, there are so many different themes, big themes, and to me, at the surface level, it sounds like it's about how women need to be more independent or should be more independent and be brave in making decisions on their own without having to rely on men. And so it's a very strongly feminist movie, right? So what was your take on that approach? Because that's, to me, that's the central theme of this film.
It is. So to me, actually, when I rewatched the second time, the second theme also stood out for me. And now I can't tell which is the bigger theme in the movie. The first is about patriarchy. The first is about how women are groomed from a very young age, that it's all about everyone, all about the men in their lives and not them. Or
Right.
you have to place your husband's aspirations before you. You have to take care of your in-laws. Doesn't matter if your husband has to go abroad and study, be away on work, but you have to take care of the family. It doesn't matter at any point. And we see this with Jaya. All that the poor girl wants to do is study, right? I think that's a basic right every individual should have and should not be fighting for, is to demand a good education. She's denied that because she's a girl and she has to get married. And would a guy be denied that if the guy was in her position? No. So I think what the movie strongly does is through very subtle scenes is it makes you realize how much, which is again in theme of the title, how much women keep losing at every stage in their life. As simple as the mother-in-law having forgotten her favorite food. And she doesn't make her favorite food because the men in her house don't like what she likes. So she just ends up making what the men like. I think it's so unfair. So to me, that was a central theme, no doubt about it. And we can go on in every scene and dialogue and we can dissect and I can tell you, yes, this happens. Yes, I have been through it. Yes, my mom's been through it. The second theme, however, which is very subtle and which comes out when you observe the character arcs and like you said about the men in the movie, for the women also, and every character actually in the movie is the moment of self-discovery and the moment of self-realization. With Fool, we have seen she realizes how to become yeah, she loves her husband and she's still going to be the lovely housewife, but at the same time, she says, "I'm going to help my husband in whatever he wants to do. I'm also going to do something."
I love Banjaman's reaction to it.
Jaya obviously gets to pursue her dream of studying. At the same time, the mother-in-law, she asks, and this dialogue really stayed with me because women are pitted against women constantly. Okay? This is what the society, this is what marriage does to people. You're pitted against your in-laws. The mother-in-law feels threatened by the daughter-in-law. Okay? This is so unfair. This is so unfair, in my view. And because I've had a mother-in-law who's doted on me more than my mother. I am very candid about it. My mother sometimes behaves like my mother-in-law. That's how the equation is. So when I used to, and we've been married almost 2 decades now, and when I would tell my friends when we were newly married and we moved and my mother-in-law would come stay with us, etc., people were like, "So how is it? Is she interfering? Is she?" No, my mother-in-law is nothing like that. "Oh, you're so lucky." No, why am I lucky? This should be the norm, right? This is how they should be. So So there's a dialogue where the mother-in-law, Deepak's mom, is talking to her mother-in-law. We get told we have to be a wife, we have to be a daughter-in-law, we have to be a sister-in-law, we have to be a mother, we have to be an aunt. But we are never told to be friends of each other. So why can't you and I be friends? And she says, should we give this a try? And the mother-in-law says, yes, let's do that. Why? Why is this not the norm in our society? So it's like I said, there are big arcs and there are small. So everybody goes through their journey of self-discovery. Even the father-in-law, who's shown, like you said, the very typical man in the house, and he says, what do you know? You can lose a bicycle. How did you lose your bride? Like, he's very condescending towards Deepak at that point. And but at the end, there's an instance where Jaya is teaching some farming tips, gives some farming tips to the father-in-law on the farm. And at the end, there is the scene. And there was no need for them to show, by the way. He was a very not that important a character in the whole setup. But even there is a dialogue where he says that you come back and study and come back and teach us more farming tips, and I'll let you know how the crops are growing. That is also his arc. He's also realized it. So
Absolutely.
to me, patriarchy, great. The movie is a great commentary on patriarchy and on feminism, but it also tells you at the same time that there's a lot of self-discovery, self-realization for both genders that go through it. And I think to me, and I've always said this, the key is that both men and women understand each other and support each other and grow together. You cannot pit them against each other. And what the society does, you are constantly pitted against each other. And that should not be the case.
That's what Mai also says, right, to her. The women really do not need the men to survive. The women can be cooks, they can be farmers, they can have children, they can raise children. But nobody wants them to know that they can live without the men, because then this whole fraud will get exposed. Okay, which is why I mean, that is why, and hence the changes in the men are very noticeable in this particular movie.
And that point hits you hard, Benny, as if you heard Mai's point is very valid and probably becoming a bit serious. When one of the spouse dies, okay, and you can go by the stats, go by the research, go by people around you. The wife, the if she, if the man dies first and the wife gets stayed behind, they have lived much longer than the men have without their wives. It is in so many cases I've seen this. The women, because they just pick it up. Even if they've been housewives, I have seen women pick up outside work left, right, and center. Like, for 30, 40 years of their marriage, they were just managing the house. They didn't know the banking, or they didn't know what it was to go out and do the outside work or call a plumber or call an electrician, because the guy husband was doing it. But after the husband passes away, the women pick up. So she is right. Women are far more self-reliant by nature and multitaskers. Men struggle. And that's why I keep saying, that's why you need to go hand in hand and stop saying that we are the superior gender. You
I
are
think
not.
the most common misunderstanding of feminism is that women are aspiring to be better than men, or they're trying to convey that no, women can do things better than men. I think that's the fundamental misunderstanding. Feminism is about conveying that men and women are equal, not that one is better over the
Better than
other.
the other.
And I think the two main characters in this, both Phul and Jaya, at no point, Phul especially, Phul does not pretend like she is better than any man. She just loves and respects Deepak throughout. Even when people are telling her he's ditched you, he fooled you, she's like solid. And
Yes.
even at the end, when they reunite, that you can see the love in her face. Same thing with Jaya. It's not about like her just wanting to be just independent for the sake of being independent. She is aspiring for a better life for herself and to help her family, not about putting anyone else down to achieve
Correct.
that goal. So I hope people have understood that if they are thinking like, oh, this is again another one of those feminist films that is very preachy. And I think it's a good place to talk about any criticisms of the film because you mentioned it that there was this one criticism that it's too much in your face. Which was a weird take on it, but I mean,
Absolutely weird.
everyone is free to their opinion, I guess.
I'm fine. Okay, let's go with the fact that it is too much in your face. It is preaching you that the perils of patriarchy, and it is preaching you that feminism, women need to be independent, women need to do this, blah, blah, blah. Let it preach. You are on one hand giving blockbusters to films like Animal, which is so misogynistic. Kabir Singh, another great example of misogyny, right? And a lot of Bollywood films have bordered on misogyny, okay? That's okay because that becomes a masala entertainer. That's how you define it. And suddenly there comes this slice of life, lighthearted, jovial, quirky film that is in the background telling you that this is what is happening with women. This is exactly what happens with women. It's absolutely relatable to all women who go watch it. And then you come and say, oh, this is too preachy. You know what? I'll take 10 more preachy films like this over Animal Film any day.
I think a lot of people miss the context in which the movie has been set. So first of all, the time, which is 2001, and it's not 2020s onward.
Correct.
So a lot of people try and oh, this, and again, people with privilege especially try and relate it to, oh, this doesn't happen anymore. This is hardly anything. Maybe it is not there. These are old things and all. And not many people, in fact, take your route of seeing that, oh, this has happened with my mom. Exactly. A lot of the younger generation and all will not take that route at all. For them, they have lived very comfortable lives. They have not seen a lot of this stuff happen around them, other than the tier three, tier four cities and the villages, maybe. But for otherwise, the identifying thing with the movie does not exist, and hence it feels all in the face to them. I think for me, the only criticism possibly is that I think a couple of characters could have been much more evolved and used. Especially, for example, the crippled guy, the Abdul. Abdul possibly comes in only just two or three main frames. One is when the first time he gets introduced as a sudden shock, very scares fool. Then it's when that is not actually crippled guy and has legs that gets revealed. And then it's in the last scene when she's leaving the train station. Those are the only three places where he actually comes in and says, maybe there is a symbolism to all that, but I think that character either should have been evolved more or not been there at all. Maybe that's possibly one take or one criticism of that, but that is also because I wanted to find a criticism in that. I mean, really, I mean, otherwise, if you go into the setting of it, and I think what blew me away was the cinematography. I mean, the whole thing, which the way it was set up, I think Vikash Navlakha, that man is amazing. He's done such a brilliant job of creating most of the village scenes, most of the identifying markers also. But possibly we'll put that in the other not this segment where we are criticizing. I don't think otherwise, even the songs I couldn't criticize because they were so meaningful and at the right time and at the right place, it was difficult to find anything wrong with them also. So for me, I think other than that one character, I don't see much of a criticism in that movie.
Thematically, I don't have any, anything negative or any criticisms for it. Like I just feel like we don't have enough of these, so I don't care that if it is bordering on being a little preachy. I didn't think it was preachy, but if people are feeling that, then there's something else that they need to explore. Like, why do you feel that? It's a conversation you probably need to have with yourself. But yes, from a film, like a very technical perspective, like Amit, you mentioned like some characters are underdeveloped. I mean, I think that was always going to be a challenge in a film with so many characters, and especially so many interesting characters that when even like the friends, like they're kind of one note if when you think about it. And I think that's just a challenge for the medium where it would have to be like a mini series to really etch them out. And I think it's the limitations of film. For me, the only thing that didn't work out, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence about it, and we'll probably talk about it because it is that pivotal scene at the end of the film, you know, the police station where Inspector Manohar and Pradeep especially they face off. Wait, Pradeep or Deepak? Now I feel like I'm mixing up.
Pradeep.
It's
That's right. It is
Pradeep is
Pradeep.
the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they meet up and they kind of have this confrontation. Just the arc for Manohar, I felt it was a little abrupt, considering how he was for most of the film. But on rewatch, I was like, okay, I guess I can try to make it fit and be like, yeah, it could happen. But we are supposed to kind of accept it that this guy who was just like he really wants, like he's obsessed with money and you know all of that bribes and everything. Now suddenly at the end, after hearing the story, now he's just like different. But I can kind of accept it. But that's from a film, you know, technical point of view, that wasn't necessarily what worked for me. But I think we've talked a lot of serious and heavy things about this
Yes,
film. I think let's get into the fun
for the
aspects
like
of it. There are so many fun scenes, so many fun dialogues. I thought we could start with favorite scenes. And I am sure for all of us, we have plenty. And I don't think we have enough time to go over each and every one of them. There might even be an overlap. So I thought let's do three favorite scenes each. So who wants to go first?
Meenal
So do
first.
you go
Go.
first? Mine is a bit emotional scene, so you go first.
Okay, so for me, at least one scene which I remember and maybe I mean, there are so many. So one of these which stuck with me was at the beginning when he goes around, Deepak goes around with the photograph of his wedding time, trying to find her. And he reaches this shop where the man dismisses him, saying, I have the dialogues actually written here. अबे इमे का देखे घूंघट से तो फुल फेस ढका हुआ है, फेस ही तो सब कुछ होता है, फेस ढक देना मतलब पहचान ढक देना. I mean, what is there to see if the face is not to be seen? If the face is complete by the ghoongat, the face is everything. And at the climax of that scene, out walks his wife with hijab and looks at him, and both are looking at each other, and they move off. Okay.
But the reaction of Deepak in that scene to I mean his wife walks is brilliant. It's a frame that needs to be captured. And seriously, Sparsh Srivastava has got so much praise for his acting. Amit was telling me this guy is born to act. Amar Khan was saying that everybody's done well, everybody's done a stellar job. But the guy that surprised me the most was Sparsh with his performance. Because he says when we had the script, Ravi Kishan's character, they knew what is there, how it's going to play out. Jaya's character, he's like, what was Deepak's role in the entire film? He's just searching for his lost wife. There is no arc around the guy, right? He just got the wrong bride. Now he has to find the right bride. That's all that was written for him. But in every scene and emotion, scene that you see him, or with every emotion, what's come out? And he says, obviously, Kiran Rao must have worked with him, no doubt. But it's that guy's talent that shows
I
in those.
do. I want to talk more about him later on under favorite performances because I have a lot of time for him. He did a great job. Any other favorite scenes? Two more.
For me, I think which one was the other one? I mean, it's not funny, but I like how the romance between Gunjan and Pushpa then and Jaya develops. It's so very subtle. He may wants to say something, but he still doesn't know because he knows she's married. He still doesn't know completely, but that romance is still there. And Gunjan, in any case, means the buzzing of bees. So he's kind of that guy who is always around. And hence, that's why I find so much similarity in names and whatever they have portrayed in this movie. Somewhere or the other, some relationship is there. And the biggest thing positive about that guy is he appreciates her intelligence more than anything else. And that's what he says almost every time. Oh, you must be inter pass. That's why you know all of this. Oh, you are interested in agriculture. He's always appreciating her intelligence. And that stuck with me throughout the whole storyline whenever he speaks about her. When the same scene, I presume, continues, and not Gunjan, who's the main not food. Jaya. 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 That time Pushpa. She walks out and they're discussing about the pest control and everything, what to be done, pesticides to be used and all. And she gives the solution and walks off. And there's that the elder daughter-in-law who is sitting there. And she speaks to her about, oh, you know so much about it. And there's one dialogue she says, Bhook hai tumhari aankhon mein. There is hunger in your eyes. That's one dialogue which kind of hit me. I mean, this woman who has not had a chance to express herself at all sees that spark in her eyes. And in any ways, she helps her find her own spark later on. But that stuck with me. So these three scenes definitely are some of the best for me.
My favorite scene where I thought I'm going to love this movie is when Deepak comes with the bride and she tells the mother-in-law, and like I'm saying, this is so subtle. I don't know who thinks this is preachy feminism. The mother-in-law tells her, abhi ghungat utha lo beti, ghar ke hi log hain. Oh, raise your veil. You can show the face because now it's your own people. So basically for outside people, you're not allowed to show your face. Inside people is okay. Hey, hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Secondly, then they said like, okay, who are you? Like, where have you come from? What's your husband's name? So the father-in-law asked, I think, what's your husband's name? And then the mother-in-law interrupts. Hare, what are you not telling her to do? Take her husband's name? How can she take her husband's name? Hello, how are you going to find out who is her family if she doesn't take the husband's name? And then the father-in-law in that same scene is like cursing Deepak for, you know, how could you lose your wife? And how could you not recognize? And they were like, Are, it's okay. All the wives are wearing the same dress. Ho gayi galti bacche se. And then he's like, what could I do? Oh, sorry, he says it. That ho gayi mujhse galti. Everybody was wearing. How do I know it's new? I've just known her for 2 days. And then everybody said, how can you do that? And she says, so he's saying the right thing, right? I mean, like, how do you expect us to know each other? Couldn't you recognize your husband? And she's like, how would I? I've only just got married. I had all the time veil on my face. I don't know what, remember what he looks like. All are wearing the same suit and boot. How would I know? Like, the hypocrisy in these three dialogues itself shows you. And that's where I thought I'm going to love the movie. Second, I think all my scenes probably favorite sit with Mai's character. I loved Mai's character so much because she had seen such a hard life and there was an indication of she faced domestic abuse. And obviously she's developed a bit of cynicism to people around her. It's very natural. But she teaches fool constantly, don't be a fool, don't be ignorant, don't be naive, be self-reliant, learn to stand on your own feet. And she says, it's really difficult to live alone. But once you start to love that aspect of being with yourself, you will realize how important it is to love yourself or put yourself and put your happiness before others. And Phool makes Kalakand for the first time at the stall, right, to sell the sweet. And she says, Mai, why don't you have? And Mai says, nay, I don't have anything to celebrate. No business celebrating. And it just gives you a glimpse of how hard her life must have been. But when Phool goes back to the home and the station master comes back with the news that she's reached her home safe and sound, you see Mai taking a piece of that Kalakand because now she's got a reason to celebrate.
I cried each of the three times that I watched that scene. It was like, I've seen it before.
And again, my third one was again a favorite, is how women become resilient. Women probably are pushed to a point, to a brink where they then retaliate is... She says, my husband used to beat me a lot. And when I used to like ask him why you're doing this, he would say, Are, main to pyar jatana, peetna,
if you love someone,
you hit them. And she says, so even I showed my love one day and I hit him and I sent him out of my life. That dialogue was also excellent.
It was. True.
And it takes you time to register what has happened actually and the gravity of the situation. And I think these three ones were my favorite.
It's funny, like this movie is chock full of great scenes that we could pick three each and not really overlap because I had to narrow down to three for the sake of time because I had initially like 10 or more.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, that's
I mean, the whole
fine.
movie is my favorite.
Like literally I was watching it last night and I was like, I kept pausing the film and then like jotting, oh, this scene. Oh, or this dialogue. And my wife was like, you know, you're gonna take like 4 hours to film this film, finish this film if you keep stopping it like every few minutes. I was like, it's so good. So one of my favorite scenes was actually, you know, actually a lot, almost all of the scenes at the police station were just great, great acting, great like scenes. It was just like fun. Right from the first time that, you know, Deepak and his friends come and, you know, give the complaint. But the one that I really enjoyed the most was actually Jaya's first visit to the police station. It felt like a chess match,
Yes.
right? Because Inspector Manohar is like, he knows or he has a very strong inkling, okay, this is actually Jaya. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna like essentially catch her, right? And the Jaya has come prepared though. And so it's just fascinating to watch this kind of this almost evenly matched contest between like two people. And I thought that was just like a great scene because you just didn't know where it was gonna go. You didn't know like if Jaya was gonna get found out, but she was just so ready for everything.
Yeah.
And the kicker was actually, and I think we have to give the title to Inspector Manohar because when she turns away and walks off, he just says Jaya, and she just like instantly turns, right? And I'm like, he's so good in that. And then she kind of tries to, oh yeah, I left my bangle. And then she walks off, and he just smiles, and he's like Jaya, Jaya, Jaya. And I was like, it fits perfectly in any of the context that you want to say that in. So yeah, that was like a top-notch scene. Another one was another Inspector Manohar scene. Of course, this is the climactic one, you know, encounter with Pradeep. Because so far you don't know how it's gonna pan out. It just seems like he's not interested anymore. He's caught Jaya, his job is done. And then that twist essentially where now he's like, okay, now since that part is done, now let me do this. And then he's like trying, you know, he's explaining to Pradeep like how he can't let her go with him. And then he essentially like Pradeep gets annoyed and says, like, what, you know, like what are you saying? And there's this amazing visual. I watched it 3 times now and it's always great. He stands up, right? And he's towering over him. And he just says it's called the law. And I was like, if this was a masala film, this is where all the whistles would start. Actually, even without it being a masala film, I'm sure in the theaters, people would have whistled and cheered for this scene.
Totally.
But that scene would have changed to some very typical dialogues like "कानून के हाथ लंबे होते हैं" and all that stuff. Okay, here
Very
it was
verbose,
that
yeah.
literally, it's law.
Law.
That's it.
Yeah. And I think that was so being economical with dialogue, being economical with the scene. Like you said, you didn't have to be very verbose and like big lines, long lines of dialogue to show like he is like the man who knows everything. He was very simple. Like the visual of it, especially because from in one moment, he transformed from just like a regular police inspector that could be bullied by like politicians and their cronies to the actual law in that place, like the way he towers over him and says that. That was so effective every time I watched that scene. But at the end of the day, and Meenal knows this, I'm a softie. I love a good romantic scene, a good romantic film. I mean, especially like, you know, that song, Oh Sajni, Sajni, right? Is that the
Oh,
song?
lovely song.
It's going to be on my playlist for the next few months at least because it's so good. And in that scene where, you know, Deepak is like, I know, like, let me tell you something in English. And then he says a few English words, but then his face, and again, I want to talk about his acting a little bit later on, but he looks very anxious, but also concerned, but he really wants to say something. And he says, I love you. And then she smiles and chuckles, and he smiles at the relief. And that song is just like, you know, in the background, it just kind of crescendos. And I was like, this is a beautiful scene. But the best scene, or I should say, my favorite scene in the entire film is actually the reunion scene, you know, in the station. Like, I know what's going to happen. This is very, at this point, obviously, they're going to reunite, but how they're going to reunite is the best part of this. And so when they do reunite, when he hears his name And then he sees her in this crowd, and then they both run to each other. Again, this is a staple of romantic films, you know,
No,
couples
that's
running
exactly
towards
the
each other.
moment I said to Meenal. This boy is born to act. He's just, he's his face, whatever they say, right from the time, the frustration of just about leaving the station, hearing his name, coming back, and then seeing her actually for a bit in the crowd. I mean,
And just
both
like
of them.
breaking down in her arms,
Yeah.
which is again not considered very masculine,
Correct.
but in that moment it's just him finding his wife. Like, just she's here now after
Yeah.
all the stress of the past few days. She's here, and for her too, for all the her fears, she's finally like reunited with him. So for me, like, again, the music and the visuals, I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, it's hard limiting to these three because I want to mention so many others, but you know, I think we covered like some of the major kind of fan
And because
pleasing.
you mentioned the songs, I mean, very
Yeah.
few people realize that whatever the songs are, they're sung by very good people in that movie. There is Shreya who has sung a song.
Yeah.
There is Sona Mohapatra who has sung. There is Arijit and there is Sukhvinder.
Which is my favorite song? The whole Dautva is
Doubt.
when they're chasing Jaya's tracks, you know, when they're following her, the inspector,
Oh,
and
the
his
shady
taking
lady.
photographs and all
Taking
that.
that.
And all the
Yeah,
song that's
yeah,
playing in the background, and it's Sukhvinder's voice is just, I love Sukhvinder Singh, I've loved him forever, his voice. And I was like,
yeah.
wow, this is perfect, like, well placed.
Yeah.
The background score is actually so good in this film,
Yeah.
so good. It really helps set the tone of every scene, and keeps the viewer engrossed. And like, Kiran Rao has done a swell job in every aspect of the film. I don't think anything, there's no drawback in it's a
Right, right.
wholesome film on all aspects.
And I think just like the music helps the film, the dialogues,
Yeah.
absolute top notch. Some of the best dialogues that I've heard and seen in Indian movies recently. I just want to list five of my favorite dialogues. I'm not even going to go into depth on each of
You
these.
have to say it, okay?
Okay, listen. I wrote this in English. No. Let me clarify. I have it in English, not the actual Hindi dialogue, because I would mess it up so badly. So it's just brilliant. So I don't want to mess it up, and I still want to make sure that people hear what I'm actually saying here. In no order of like favorites, but so the first one is, when Deepak comes to the station to report that he lost his wife or something. And this is our first introduction to Inspector Manohar. And Deepak is so stressed. He's so like, I've lost my wife. And I just love Inspector Manohar's first, his acting, first of all,
He's amazing.
right? His expression. And he looks like, for a moment, he's like genuinely like, what's his secret? I've been trying for years, but my damn wife never gets lost. It kind of plays into the cliche of like, oh, like, like my wife, she's like nagging and like, and
Yeah.
just want to get away from her. But in this particular moment, it landed just because it contrasts with Deepak's like genuine
Situation.
worry. And here's this cop who's just like cracking jokes. And it was the acting and the delivery of the dialogue, which is the best part.
Yeah.
Another one was actually, this is Jaya, when she's talking to, I guess, Deepak's sister-in-law, right? I forget her name. Was it Poonam or something like that? The one with the boy. It's in the room, like they're still getting to know each other. And at this point, she's not speaking, right? Like, she's just like nodding along to everything and just smiling. And so Jaya just very casually says, yeah, I'm proud of your husband. It takes courage to marry a mute woman. And she's like, no, I'm not. And I was like, again, if you think about it, stop and think about it, there are layers to this line, right?
It's brilliant.
And that's where the brilliance of the dialogue is. It's not just a throwaway funny
Yeah.
line, like not even like the, my wife never gets lost. Like, now that's
Yeah.
a throwaway funny line, but this one isn't. It's actually like, if you stop and think about it's funny,
Yeah.
but also makes you think. And I think
Yeah.
that's where it's
It's
so good.
probably the fact or the life of, I don't know, 50% of women in rural India, where You just don't have a voice. And
Yeah.
forget that, in many situations, women have never had a voice in the past, right? So it
Yeah.
is so wonderful, wonderfully conveyed throughout in the film.
There were two other funny lines that I really enjoyed. One was when I think when Jaya is comes to the police station, and then she decides when they're gonna take the photo, she puts the veil, and Inspector Manohar is like, "This is a camera, not an X-ray machine." And again, back to the way he delivered the line. And then actually Manjumai, for all of her serious kind of like backstory
Yeah.
and her kind of rough demeanor, actually she has one of the best funny lines in the film, I
Yes.
think.
Yeah.
Because there's this running gag about like them trying to find out which village that fool is like trying to, because it's
Yeah.
something with a flower, so they
Correct.
all like try Chotu and Mai, they try to like just throw random like
Yeah.
flower names at her, and then she's like, no. And that's at one point, after Maya suggested something, and Fool was like, no. And Manjumai says, "You've turned us into bees." Yeah, again, kind of like Ravi Kishan, like it was the way she delivered the dialogue. But the best and my favorite line from this film was actually at the end when Jaya and Fool finally like kind of say their goodbyes to each
Yeah.
other. And I guess you can look at it as like very generic line, but again, kind of similar to the line that I mentioned earlier. There are layers to this. So Fool says to Jaya, "If it hadn't been for you, I would have never been found." And then Jaya says, "If it hadn't been for you, I would have never found myself." And I thought that was such a beautiful, like it's very simple, but such a beautiful line, which summarized the film so beautifully.
Exactly. That's
Just,
why I said
yeah.
it is kind of becomes the central theme, because a lot of women will watch this film and come out thinking and seeing themselves differently. And
They will relate to one of these two women, is what I would think.
definitely, definitely, 110% we are going to relate. So I think you've covered most of the favorite lines. My two favorite lines were from Mai, when she says, "The biggest fraud that has been sold to women is that you have to come from a respectable house." But क्या? भले घर की
भले घर की
लड़कियां,
लड़कियां,
भले घर की लड़की इज द बिगेस्ट फ्रॉड दैट हैज बीन सोल्ड टू ऑल गर्ल्स इन इंडिया, विच आई होल हार्टेडली अग्री. बिकॉज लड़का भले घर का हो ना हो, लड़की भले घर की होनी चाहिए. यू नो, इट्स लाइक दैट. इट डजंट मैटर व्हाट द नेचर ऑफ द बॉय इज और व्हाट हैवॉक ही हैज क्रिएटेड, बट द गर्ल हैज टू बी परफेक्ट एट द टाइम दैट शी हैज टू गेट मैरिड.
yeah.
एंड फॉर दैट, नॉट एट द टाइम शी गेट्स मैरिड, थ्रू आउट हर लाइफ शी हैज टू बी द सेंट एंड शी हैज टू बी द सैक्रिफिशियल लैम्ब इन द हाउस होल्ड. द सेकेंड वन एक्चुअली वॉज एट द एंड. She apologizes, Jaya apologizes to Deepak for all the trouble she has caused him. And Deepak very sweetly and innocently tells her that sapne dekhne ki maafi nahi mangni chahiye, which is again a very layered line, is that everyone is entitled to a dream. So why do
Yeah.
women have to feel sorry for their dreams? I think it was beautifully conveyed. And also the fact that you should dream and follow your dreams. So I
Yeah.
love that. Those were my pick.
Yeah, for me, again, one of the first ones was about the very first dialogue once the marriage is done and they are leaving the village to go and catch the first mode of transport. She said, "एक बार घूंघट पहन लो तो नजर नीचे होनी चाहिए, सामने नहीं. कीप लुकिंग
Yeah.
डाउन, नॉट इन फ्रंट. दैट्स वॉट द व्हील डज टू यू आफ्टर यू आर मैरिड, इज द होल थिंग. एंड दैट हिट, एंड यू रियलाइज दैट ओके, दिस मूवी इज नाउ गोइंग टू डेवलप ऑन दीज लाइन्स एंड कैरी दिस जर्नी फॉरवर्ड. एंड इनफैक्ट आई विल कैरी दैट सीन फॉरवर्ड, एंड आई नोटेड दिस डाउन डेलिबरेटली. इट टेक्स यू थ्रू different modes of transport to finally reach a destination. So you realize that they are taking a small boat, they are taking a bus, they are getting on top of a bus, and then they are reaching a train station, which is in the middle of nowhere, and getting on it. It shows that a woman is actually been taken so far away that it is so difficult for her to come back home. It is not just that what people will say, but it is really, really difficult to come back. That's a long journey which he has already done. So that whole thing which completely struck, it stayed with me for a long time. The other I already mentioned was the Bhook Hai Tumhari Aankhon Mein, which was when she recognizes that, okay, Jaya is somebody special. But then Jaya also says to her something when she first sees the sketch of her husband. And she says, okay, I know I do it. It's just because it just came to me. She says, this is, if it came to you, if it was that simple, it would have come to everyone. So it is like Kala is a gift given by Saraswati, as the Hindu religion believes. So it is very special. So you better take care of it.
Yeah.
So which is telling her to realize that, okay, there is something she has. And her expression shows it. Oh my God, nobody ever told it to me this way. And then it actually gets used. So again, no scene is without relevance in this movie. It actually gets used in finding out fool later on. So
yeah,
that's it.
I mean, the sister-in-law's talent of sketching is what plays pivotal to finding fool, because she's the one who has seen fool and she can draw her. Even if you describe to somebody else, maybe they don't have in that small village, who's going to draw right to the perfection of fool's face, right? But she has seen her and also has the talent to draw her. And that's what helps to find fool. So,
and the third part which stayed with me was Constable Dubey's dumb dialogues.
Oh my
they
God.
Were he amazing.
Was a I perfect mean, foil for
absolutely. I mean, he tries to become a detective suddenly in between and tells Ravi Kishan, I should tell him Shyam Manohar. He tells him, she was sending only 5,000 rupees. I think there is something behind this. And so Ravi Kishan's complete response to him, jo tumhare dimag ki limit hai, वैसे ही लिमिट इंडियन गवर्नमेंट ने मनी ऑर्डर पे लगाया. इट वाज टू मच. एंड इट्स लाइक यू सी सो मेनी सच डिटेक्टिव कपल्स, इफ यू हैव टू कॉल देम, वन इज अ डम्ब एंड वन इज दिस, एंड इट काइंड ऑफ जस्ट सो सीमलेसली फिट्स इनटू एवरीथिंग. एंड
इट डज द सेम विद अ स्ट्रेट फेस. ही सेज इट विद अ स्ट्रेट फेस. ही डजंट से लाइक, ओह, आई हेट दिस गाय एंड ही इज लाइक रियली डम्ब. It's like a matter of fact the way he does.
Absolutely. And he does this towards the last scene also, when the inspector says that she's going to go long.
Far away, please.
She's going to go long way. Dur tak jayegi. And she's like, haan, Dehradun 800 kilometer dur hai. Bahut dur hai. I said, wow.
So, I mean, that was a perfect way to cap that scene, actually, like that
final
joke. I think since you have mentioned all of these characters, I think we should also talk about our favorite performances. I do want to mention two people who didn't make the final list. I picked my top five, but two memorable performances, very small, very in the context of the film overall. One you mentioned earlier, the guy who plays Gunjan, I think his name is Dawood Hussain. His whole arc, I mean, very small in the context of the film, but
very sweet.
Very sweet, very good natured, and obviously he has this kind of like puppy like crush on Jaya, and he's also a very loyal friend, because he brings Deepak to the police station and he's kind of like the conduit, right? Even with the MLA and all of that guy, all of those things. But I think the ultimate best was at the end when Jaya's leaving and she's on the bus and he's making Deepak. They're like, yeah, come see us, write to us. And then Deepak is like, why don't you just go with it? I thought that was just like a nice little touch. And of course, Geeta Agarwal Sharma, which we talked about on the 12th Fail podcast. Amazing performance in that film. Here she doesn't have as large a scope. But she, even in the little bit that she has, her smile, first of all, is just very, so warm.
Yeah.
Right? And even like in those little dynamics between the mother-in-law and her, is just so funny. Just that subtle interactions with them when she's getting like a little bit annoyed with her and all of that. And then the way she is happy when Jaya and her daughter-in-law, I guess, they bond. And you mentioned that she was in Fighter. I did see Fighter and I was like, why did they waste her in this? Like,
she was completely wasted.
I think it was just for exposure. I mean, she probably, as an actor, she got more exposure through that than she would have got through 12th Fail probably. But no, she was always brilliant in whatever I see her in. And I'm, again, she was very good in this. So those are my quote unquote impact players for those people who follow cricket. But the actual players of the match performances, I think we would all agree that the top five is probably Chaya Kadam, who played Manjumai, Ravi Kishan as Inspector Manohar, Sparsh Srivastava as Deepak, Nitanshi Goel as Fool, and Pratibha Ranta as Jaya slash Pushpa. I guess we can talk about each one of them before we get to the last portion of this episode. I thought Chaya Kadam was the best. In my opinion, she was the best part of this movie, even though she's not necessarily the central character. Curious to hear your guys' thoughts on her performance.
So I've seen her in a few Marathi films. So she's not a new name or a new face. I was delighted. And she's acted in a few Hindi films as well. I not watched all of them, but she is such an accomplished actress, and it shows because what Mai had what five, six impactful scenes, and she nailed each one of them. And in many of them, especially the last scene where Fool has gone home and Mai picks up the sweet. For a moment, she's smiling. She's so happy and thrilled for Fool. And the second moment, the very within a second, a customer comes to pay her the money, and it's like, okay, I have to go back to business as usual, which Amit pointed out to me as well. So the way she her dialogue delivery and how she has been through her whole life, and at first you get the glimpse that she doesn't care about people around her and she's this very rude person, but she actually isn't. And you come to know through her nature of how she interacts with Fool, gets her to work, makes her cherish herself first. So it's just her whole demeanor as that character was so impactful. And I loved watching her every time she was on my screen.
I thought she
Brilliant.
was a great counterpoint to Fool because Fool is like at the stage of her life where she's so optimistic about life and marriage and excited about all of those things. And Manjumai is at the other end of the spectrum where she's been through all of that. She's seen life. She's at a cynical stage of her life, right? Because of all her experiences. And somehow by the end of the film, both have passed on the best of themselves to each other. And I thought that was like the best part of her role in this film because she was not the main character, but she's supporting one of the main characters in her goal to find her husband. And in that process, her arc and the way she essentially mentors, Fool for those few days. I thought that was great. I actually also liked the small part of it was her interaction with who I call the chutney guy. The beginning, she's so mad at him because she thinks he's taking way too much more chutney than he's actually bought for. But by the end, she's like become like so soft that she's like giving like she's like come,
Yeah,
take
take
more,
more,
take
take more. How
more.
have you not taken more?
But if you see this closely, I mean, I don't know how much you have seen street vendors. There are these one or two customers of his who are these kind of, they know they'll come every day,
The
every
regular
time,
customers,
the regular ones, they will be there. They will want something free, but they're there. Okay. For me, and I was again trying to relate, I can actually equate her performance to Godfather performances. Especially if not Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. The way she keeps that face at every single dialogue delivery to reflect what the message is just brilliant. She doesn't need to do much. Her face simply conveys everything. So whether it is speaking about her abuse, telling Fool to do something. And there are very specific, very few instances where she goes wholeheartedly out and expresses her without coming back to her old face immediately. So that where she moves between those two things, it's completely blown me away. For me, she and possibly Deepak are very close by, but because of this character thing, and because she's an accomplished actress, so she possibly the experience speaks there. So she's just slightly a notch above, and I absolutely loved her. And I think the moment she is introduced into the frame, when those three are walking towards and a tea stall is there, and their first interaction happens, where she literally kind of, oh, get out. I don't care about you all. That's where, oh my God, this woman is going to have something in this whole movie later on. It was
I
good,
saw
yeah.
so many memes related to her character and
Ah,
her dialogues.
okay.
So she's having a big pop cultural moment right now. And it's nice, even for the actress. I mean, it's clear that she's a seasoned actress. So I'm glad that she's kind of getting a lot of attention through this film. And similarly, you can see that this person is a seasoned actor as well. So Ravi Kishan, who obviously plays Inspector Manohar. I mean, it's kind of a challenging role if you think about it, because for most of the film, he's like the comic element, right?
Yes.
But then by the end, he's given this task of kind of wrapping it up in a very serious but not too heavy manner, like still keeping
Correct.
elements of his humorous nature, right? That light nature. But when coming to land that final blow, so to speak, for Pradeep, like the way he just through his speaking, not through anything, not through intimidation, not through violence, essentially telling Pradeep, like, yeah, you can't take her and go back. Like, you better get out of here.
Correct.
You know, like, so that whole transformation from, not transformation, that arc from where he started as just purely like comical and almost an inept bureaucratic cop to someone who, if he put his mind to it, he could make a huge difference from his station. So, yeah, I've not seen Ravi Kishan before, or if I have, I've never registered him as an actor, but he was brilliant, and again, one of the major reasons for this film's success.
I agree completely. So Ravi Kishan again comes from the Bhojpuri film industry. And initially when he came, I don't think anybody liked him. Everybody thought he hams a lot. He kind of and possibly he did, but he kind of has stayed and he has evolved his acting a lot. Now, you mentioned something about how he kind of wraps up everything. His name in the movie also is Shyam Manohar. Now, the Shyam Manohar essentially both are synonyms of Lord Krishna. Okay. Now, these are things where it's literally like he is kind of being there, giving both the good side and the bad side of everything. So he's been a good cop at sometimes, he's been a bad cop sometimes, and at the end, he's the one who is completely summarizing everything to finishing it off. So that's the way his character has developed. He has having the pan in his mouth and continuously speaking at times, that has gone out very well. Nowhere has it become like, oh, it sounds disgusting. It has never happened like that. And the way he interacts with his deputies is also very nice to watch. So whether it is Dubey or whether it is, I think, Belaji, I presume, who's the,
Belaji, yeah, sports quota.
Each of those interactions also are so nicely done. And he, I mean, he's in his, as you said, the chess match with Jaya, which he plays across the table is an absolute treat to watch, which he possibly wins. Even if it is not a checkmate, it is a check. Yeah, you better be watching out. Yeah. And so that is beautiful. The way he carries out the investigation and then the way he deals with Pradeep at the end also. So all of it, I think Ravi Kishan definitely. I don't think I have found any scene of his which would have said, "Oh my God, he's gone over the top or something." He's done it really.
So before Lapata Ladies, there is a web series that has released on Netflix,
Oh yeah.
Mamla Legal Hai, which stars Ravi Kishan. He's phenomenal in that as well. I thoroughly enjoyed the web series. It's short. It's actually just 8 episodes, 30 minutes each, and it's a satirical take on the judicial courts and the lower courts, civil courts, criminal courts in India. I absolutely enjoyed watching him in that series, and then to see him kind of redo his character again in Lapata Ladies and to do it so well again was without the how do you say it's not repetition at all. There are similarities, but they're absolutely different characters that he plays. There he plays the lawyer, similar kind of inept lawyer, then realizes that he needs to do good, similar what he does here. So the arc is the same. He has actually been in started off as a hero in 90s Bollywood, but the rise of Khans and all the other actors, he got lost and he didn't get his breaks. So, which is why he moved to Bhojpuri films and he became a superstar there. So that's the backdrop of Ravi Kishan. And now he's come back and he's doing bits and good roles, character roles in Bollywood films. And he's been doing that for some time now. But I think this year, 2024, he's just been in, as I said, absolute fine form. So Mamla Legale is a big recommendation from me for the listeners. The cast is excellent.
Benny, it's not a recommendation for you. It's a threat.
But we are not doing, we're not covering web series, so he's safe.
That's true. We can't talk about those in any of our 100 podcasts that we're doing. It's not one of those. Okay, let's talk about the young ones. The
Young ones.
obviously Deepak, played by Sparsh Srivastava, Fool played by Nitanshi Goel, and Jaya played by Pratibha Ranta. Obviously, all with varying degrees of experience in acting, for sure. First, let's talk about Sparsh, because I think many people will argue that he was probably like the best part of the like best performance from the film. And it's hard because there were many good performances in this just between the five of them. But yeah, for me, when I first like first few scenes that he was in, I was like, okay, he's gonna be the generic, like the naive, innocent husband who'd lost his wife. But as the movie goes on, you realize there's so much depth to it, especially when they show him actually he's in love with Fu. It's not just a typical arranged marriage. Like he's actually known her before. They actually love each other. And you can start to feel his pain. You can start to feel his anguish, and especially his face. It's so expressive. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the whole thing when he says "I love you," the range of facial, the
Totally.
way his face evolves in that scene before he says "I love you," and then his relief, like beautifully emoted. And then through the whole thing with his interactions with the inspector, his interactions with the family. With Jaya, and then finally when he reunites with, like, the way that he elevates what could have been a one-note character, I think he's probably like the big breakout star from this film.
Oh, I have seen him in Jamtara, a series which I watched very, very early on, somewhere around 2021 during the lockdown. And not many had heard about it, not many were talking about it. But along with Delhi Crime and Jamtara, I thought to me they were far more better than Patal Lok. Patal Lok got all the rave reviews and spotlight, but these two just hit the right spot because they were based on true events. And they captured those true events with the right amount of intensity without any melodrama or, you know, going overboard. And to me, he played the central character there. So I was very impressed. I absolutely was, like many people, including Amir Khan, I wasn't surprised by his performance because he had shown the talent before. What I liked is how understated his performance was. He didn't, you know, it could have become a bit of a caricature character. And he was not the central focus in the story. It's the two brides. The movie is also, the central theme is around women. So that's what I liked. He stayed within his character limitations and boundaries and he elevated it. So I loved his performance simply because it was so understated. Very well done, very well emoted. Loved every time he was on screen, whether he was confused or like being hassled by his dad, or when Jaya goes missing the next day, and people are like, "Now you've lost your second wrong wife also." Like poor guy who was getting tossed around by everyone, and I really enjoyed how helpless he played it. It was really, really good.
For me, I think his performance stood out a lot. His right from the first time when they get on the top of the bus, and he tells her to give her all the jewelry to him. I mean, that is the first time you think, oh my God, maybe he's the villainous guy in all
That's
this.
what I
And
thought
then
initially,
I thought too.
maybe this will go somewhere else. But the very next scene in the same sequence of events is he holding her very nicely. holding her hand and stuff like that. So that tells you maybe not. There's already a gray thing. And he expresses both of it very nicely. As you said, he doesn't have to do much. His eyes, his facial expressions say it completely. And the same thing happens. There is another point when we feel that possibly he'll go down the wrong way when all the friends get drunk because they couldn't find her. And one of them says something. And here you are like possibly comparing him with the other guy, Pankaj.
Pradeep.
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 It's called Pankaj by her.
Oh, yeah,
He
she calls
introduces
us
Pankaj.
Pankaj.
Yeah. So Pradeep. Pradeep literally goes down the wrong way. The moment he realizes he's not getting his wife, he goes to Dolly or somebody who was there. But this guy could also have been his friend pushes him, okay, no, you go and marry her or you do something else. But he, even in that drunk state, shows that kind of loyalty towards fool. And even that expression in that, which then finally culminates onto that train, the railway train station scene, where his expressions, I think, come out the
Right.
most.
Worst, yeah.
So
I mean, even the physicality, right? Like even like when he's rushing to the railway station, like on his bicycle,
Oh my
he
gosh.
falls off the
He
bicycle. I
falls.
was
He
like,
falls.
you
Yeah.
cannot pretend that. He actually had a fall, and he didn't like break a sweat. Like the way I really believed it in his moment. Like he really loves this girl. Like he's crazy about her. Doesn't want to lose her again. So even like that physical, apart from his like emoting and his dialogue delivery, whatever be it, even the physicality of it was very, very apt for this
Yeah, I
character.
mean, even his the way he stands, the way his shoulders are drooping, the restlessness in his body, he was acting all round, like his face, his body language, everything, like perfect, nailed it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. No wonder
That's
Amir Khan is so impressed with him.
Well, let's wrap it up by let's wrap up the acting performances with the true Lapata ladies of this film. So Nitanshi Goel as Fool and Prati Baranta as Jaya. I was really impressed with Nitanshi Goel mainly because I felt like initially her character was kind of like a very generic, naive Indian woman. Who doesn't know anything, who's entirely reliant on men, cannot function at all. And so especially those early scenes when she, you know, in the Patila station, she's kind of like so out of fish out of water kind of situation. It seemed like it was going like one note, like she wouldn't really have anything to do except like wait till, you know, Deepak finds her. But even when she was paired up with Chaya Karam, like she held her own because she was so convincingly portrayed her very innocent but optimistic nature. Like she was worried, she was sad, all of that, but she was still like very steadfast in her belief that Deepak would find her. And just through that infected Manjumai with that sense of like there maybe there's some goodness in this world after all, you know. So I thought she did a great job in elevating, much like Sparsh did in his role. She elevated what could have been a one-note character. And so, and for Prati Bharanta, for Jaya, in a way, she would be considered the lead of this film, right? Because it's a lot of things happened because of her. A lot of events happened because of her. And eventually, Fool is found because of her effort in kind of like making the sister-in-law draw and then having Gunjan put up the posters and all of that. And so her acting too, I thought was brilliant in because in some ways it could have been very generic, like, okay, she's the good guy, so to speak, right? Like there's nothing wrong about, there's nothing, she doesn't have any negative traits. She's a very perfectly written character. But you can see that the character, as it was written and as portrayed by her, she has been through stuff. And that scene with her mother was so devastating because it is so relatable. Because I can believe that's how it is in many parts of India, where the one person that would expect to support you instead conforms to what society thinks the way you should be. Right. And it was so devastating to watch. And so she was brilliant in that scene. And then throughout the film too. But I just enjoyed the fact that there were no weak links in any of these acting performances. So It was very critical that the two female leads in this film do their part, and I thought they both actually exceeded that.
Exactly. And before we go, I go into Pratibha Ranta's performance, that scene you talked about with her mother, and again, where the movie was hitting you subtly, her dialogue is, "I topped in an exam where there were 800 boys and 86 girls." That one line tells you the ratio of how many women are getting to study and how many guys are getting to study. Agreed, that's changed a lot in now in 22 decades, but still, it is still the reality, right? Like a lot of women, they make it to. So I had actually done a presentation in my organization for a program where we were mentoring young kids from underprivileged background, and I picked up this number, and it is terms of women are getting secondary education. How many of them go into college? What percentage goes into corporate jobs? How many sustain and rise higher up? It just decreases, decreases, decreases rapidly. So that one line also makes you think. Pratibha Ranta was excellent in the movie because I loved it that till the end, you are constantly wondering, is she shady or is she good? Is she going to dupe this family or is she going to help this family? What is going on with her? She kept up that mystery of her character going really well. Also, and this is what a good director and a good script does to a good actor. You know, Sanjay Leela Bhansali is such an overrated director, in my opinion. And his web series, Heera Mandi, came out right now, last week. I binged it at 1.5x. That's different. But Pratibha Ranta has a role in that as well. And she is almost unrecognizable in that cast. And the cast is not that everybody's acting out of the skin or anything, okay? The main lead is actually, if you were to cast Pratibha Ranta and her, you would wonder what was Sanjay Leela Bhansali thinking. Like, why isn't Pratibha Ranta playing the main role? But in her short role, she is so hammy and you can't even notice her in that role. And then you look at her in Lapata Ladies and you're like, oh my God, is she even the same person? And this is what a good director does to the talent in a person. And this is a clear example because they've come at the similar times within a gap of a few months. So I loved how sincere and honest her portrayal was. And I was floored by her when she tells her this background and the story. And he was like, then why didn't, the guy again, the sub-inspector asks her, if you had to run away, why didn't you run away before the marriage? And she says, who was thinking of running away? I had resigned to my fate. And he said, when the opportunity came to me, he dragged me. I did not jump off the train. He picked my hand and took me away. And then when I had the opportunity, that was like a sign for me to never go back. What are you guys telling me? So convincing, right? Her performances. You feel for Jaya at that time. You feel for her plight. And only a good actress can make you feel that. Loved
What
watching her.
about Nitanshi?
Oh, Nitanshi was such a sweetheart. And I didn't know this, but she has apparently been in a lot of television serials as a child actor, and she's a big Instagram. She's got a huge
That's how I
Instagram following.
actually came through. I think her note, she being noticed in the past few years has been because of social media. So
Interesting.
Instagram reels, and I presume before TikTok was banned or something of that sort, she was quite popular through that. And that's how she started. But you're right. As a child artist also, she was.
All the time, Phool was there, and she was again so very convincing because my heart was going to her, and I was like, okay, don't be so dumb. Like, don't be so naive. People aren't really that good. Stop trusting every Tom, Dick, and Harry. What are you doing? So she was constantly, I was getting nervous by how innocent she was. And at the end of it, she, like she does to Mai, I think she does to us audience who are cynics, that give up that cynicism. There is still goodness in the world, and you can be optimistic and you can be hopeful, and there will be nice people who will help you. And I loved how how she portrayed that innocence throughout. And I love one scene is when she earns her first money from the sale of her suite, and She's got nothing. She's on that one bridal attire of hers, that one sari of hers, living for 3-4 days in a sheltered home. Where are you going to keep your earnings? And how it is with most women of the olden times would do, all their precious stuff would be tied to the pallu of the sari in a knot, and it was always on them, or they would tuck the money inside the blouse and it would always be on them with them, because how much did women have to, they had to give up everything for everyone, and that was her right and her own earning. And I thought that scene was, there were no dialogues, it's just the way she emoted that whole scene.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So for me, Nitanshi stood out again, the innocence which she has shown in almost all her scenes. The belief which she keeps on putting that, no, he is going to come looking for me.
Yeah.
There's just no way that will not happen. And I think that premise is actually set in the very first time when they sit together and he says, I love you. And as he said, the way he says it and the way that reaction from her comes, both those reactions literally tell you, okay, this is a very, very strong bond.
Yeah.
And it stays throughout that whole movie exactly like that until the end. And again, I call it a translation. There he only says it to her, I love you.
Yeah.
And the last scene is he secretly holding her hand behind his back and tells his father to go and we will come later. And that is the completion of their love story.
True.
So for me, Nitanshi has done all her parts, whether it was as she starts off as a very naive girl, then moves on to a place where she has to find her own place. Again, and she has shown her thing in both ways. She faces the bad guys also.
Yes.
The very first time when she gets down at the wrong station and is possibly in the loo, when she hears Pradeep speaking to his friends and saying, oh, I'm off to see Dolly. And I don't care what's going to happen now. And she's literally behind this bin which says, use me. And that whole thing is where women are used.
Correct.
The whole point about being.
That was a brilliant scene.
And the face when she actually comes out from behind that bin, the face which she shows. And then she finds good people around her at the same place, literally, is the whole premise of the movie for herself as a character.
The way she has portrayed her self-discovery or self-realization of what she should be doing whilst also being a good wife and a daughter-in-law is beautiful, the way it has come about.
Yeah.
She's not going to overnight turn into this independent, I'm going to have my own sweet shop kind of a person. No. But what through her, what they try to show is again represent a lot of women who don't pick up any big careers, stay housewives, but still can pursue their talents, still do their own bits to help their husbands in a business he's running, or help his career, or help the kids' career, nurture them. That's also important to recognize that you don't have to be this chest thumping, independent career woman. You can still be a simple housewife and yet be independent, self-reliant, and contribute a lot. I think that was beautifully portrayed.
For me, the character of Jaya by Pratibha, and I've not even told this to Meenal. For me, it is Meenal in a village setting in 2001. It is her. Okay. So if Meenal were to be born during those times, this is exactly how she would behave. She would be up against the system at every possible juncture. She would move heaven and earth. The only thing she wouldn't do is, she wouldn't even listen to her mom and get, even if her mom would have threatened her, she wouldn't have done that, which is fine. But other than that, it is her. So for me, it was a very identifiable character.
Now
I'm glad that it's a positive identifying character. Otherwise, she will be saying, oh, you were Pradeep in all of this. And I'm like,
no, he's very much my Deepak. I have to say that.
Forget that.
Not because we are on podcast or anything. I believe
the moment I heard that, when she speaks about how her mom also has not possibly given her that kind of support that she was expecting for something as basic as wanting to study, it struck with me, because there are a few education choices which Meenal would have made differently had she had it her own way. Okay. And That struck me. Oh my God, this is exactly how it must have panned out, or similar to that, if not exactly like that. And then there was so much relatability with her that everything around it was, oh my God, this is Meena. Oh my God, this is Meena.
So, he didn't tell me this a penny. This is a surprise for me.
So I was like, oh my.
So, see, this is why we do the podcast.
Yeah, Pratibha, she's done a brilliant job in portraying that. In fact, the very first time I saw her, I mistook her for another actress from the, which was?
Jamtara series and also the movie with Jackie Shroff. What was that?
The Jackie Shroff and
recent one.
The old couple movie, and they get together.
Oh, with Meena Gupta?
Yeah. So there's a girl in that who is at the traffic signal. My first shot when they showed her, I thought, oh, this is the same woman. Meenal said, no, then she's not that. But she was also a very good actress. But again,
Mast Mein Rehne Ka is the movie.
Mast Mein Rehne Ka, correct. So that was so the character again that was very strong. So maybe again it was like, oh my God, this is Meenal. So possibly maybe because of that strong characters which come out of it. But and Jaya has done, Pratibha did an excellent job portraying that. So brilliant.
Yeah. So we've spoken for nearly 2 hours and we could go on and on because this movie had so much. And this movie itself was only 2 hours long and we can still keep talking about it.
Yeah, and I can't even speak about Chhotu. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, Chhotu. Oh God,
yeah, we'd have to do like a two-parter if we wanted to cover this film. But let's go ahead and give a verdict on the film. I think it's safe to say that all three of us loved this film, like many people. So what we do is typically we'll give out of 10, you know, like a rating for this film. And if it's not a perfect 10, you know, why not a perfect 10? So why don't you guys go first and I'll give mine and wrap this up.
10 on 10. Absolutely relatable. I mean, I find no flaws in the film, honestly. As an entertainer, from a social messaging point of view, from relatability, music, cinematography, direction, writing, 10 on 10, everything.
Yeah.
Performances, obviously, we've spoken in depth.
I'm going to leave possibly a very 0.01 or a 0.1% out. I'll tell you why. Because in today's world, and I know all movies cannot be commercial successes, I would have loved if this movie had reached out to everyone the way other popular movies reach out to people.
Yeah.
May budgets, with Aamir Khan Productions, I still don't see budget as a problem. So I don't see why not that could have happened. That's possibly the only flaw, but it is not the flaw of the movie as such. But I'm saying it could have been made a bigger commercial success.
The challenge I see is the new faces and
possibly
which don't have star power and which don't have the pull, because mediocre films will have become blockbusters with token feminism in them simply because of the star power or star names in those films.
Possible. I agree with that.
So despite that, the film has done exceedingly well.
They did.
And I think this will become like one of the cult classics. Like I said, you know, Kiran Rao spoke about this being in the Hrishikesh Mukherjee mold or Basu Chatterjee mold of films, which we still go back to. It's been 40 years since most of those films have released. And we still love them as much as we loved them the first time.
The songs of those times.
Exactly.
Completely.
Laapata Ladies, 12th Fail, are going to stand the test of times and they're going to be relevant and relatable in the times.
Okay, 10 on 10, Benny.
I may not convince you now.
I mean, twisted his arm. Like, how dare you?
Okay, well, I'm not going to give it a 10 out of 10. So here's what I'll say. It's probably 9.8 or 9.9. Just because I still
Ben,
can.
Both of you.
only reason, and you know I hate to do this, but the whole thing about Inspector Kishan, like, it was very crowd pleasing, right? Like his turn at the end when he essentially delivers this metaphorical punch to Pradeep, it was, for me as a viewer, and this might be just a personal thing, it was asking me too much to believe that this person who was essentially like this, he for the most of the film he was this comical kind of like a counterpoint to everything else that was going on, he transformed after one Like once Jaya told her story, he changed his mind and decided, okay, I'm going to be an actual cop now and help her out. If there was some more scenes, maybe just establishing that nature of his, maybe in some other unrelated scenes, if they had established like this is who he could be, I felt like I could have like easily bought that. Because for me, when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's convenient. Like it felt like, oh, this is easy to wrap up the story now because the cop is gonna like kind of help them out. Again, it's me trying to find like this perfect film without any flaws. So I kind of hate that I have to say, no, this is not a perfect 10, but I mean it's good. Nine, you don't get too many movies these days that are like
Correct.
close to perfect, and this movie is pretty much close to perfect. So I would give that. I mean, you guys mentioned some other things, which makes this film a little bit more special than most films. Like, something like Fool Rising from Behind the Use Me trash can. I
Oh, yeah.
mean, symbolically, like, perfect. You don't have to, you
Yeah.
don't need dialogues. You don't need to say anything. Through that one scene, he just demonstrated like her situation. You mentioned that line, I came first among 800 boys and 86 girls. Again, economic with dialogue. With one line, it is one of those lines that made me like reflect and, oh wait, this is more than what this is. This means more than what she's actually like referring to.
Exactly.
Fool getting her first pay from Anjumai, and that's such a significant moment in her life because all her life she's been reliant or dependent on others around her, and this is a fruit of her labor. And you can see in her expression like what that means to her. And even like the final shot of Fu, I don't know if you guys notice this, but as she walks off with Deepak, yes, as she walks off with Deepak, it's almost like nature, like second nature, like she starts to pull the veil over her head and she stops and then she just like drops it. And I was like, perfect mic drop to this film. Like,
Absolutely.
so
Right phrase.
a lot of this film was just they conveyed the message through visuals, which is why I disagree that this film was not super preachy because they didn't have to be. They just
Correct.
showed it to you and make you think. And I'm like, sorry, like if you find that preachy, then I don't agree with you. So
Exactly, right? So that this is what I'm saying. I don't expect people to love everything that I love, but I expect people to be rational in their criticism because I felt that this was somebody who was just going out there criticizing the film because everybody else was loving it. So I have to take the opposite stance and talk about it. A wonderful whole theme, wonderful not even theme. I think the concept behind most filmmakers is that you don't spell it out to the audience. You show the
right.
audience and you let the audience interpret from it. And this is exactly what the film has aced. And if people don't get it, I'm sorry, I don't think you understand filmmaking. I'm sorry to
And
say
some of the
that.
things which these guys have gone into so much details also. So, for example, I don't know if you saw the scene of the internet cafe, the browser on which Krishan looks at that the search history is gone. It's that old Microsoft Internet
Yeah.
Explorer browser
Oh, you're
that
right.
is there. The game which she shows Bablu on the phone is the old Snakes
Snake.
game which we
Yeah.
used to play. The commentary which is running behind when Dadaji is on the bed is the match between India and Australia where Ricky Ponting is facing Harbhajan Singh and it gets caught by Shiv Sundar Das.
Oh,
And so all these
that's
things have been picked up right from those
meticulous,
films.
yeah.
Very meticulous, very detailed.
On that note, I think we should wrap it up. First of all, thank you, Amit, for gracing us with your presence for nearly 2 hours
Entirely my
and
pleasure.
for talking us through it. And same to you, to our listeners, thank you for listening. Please be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @_talkingtalkies. Subscribe to the podcast for the latest episodes and do spread the word about the show to your friends so that, like Amit's cousin, you can recommend us movies to watch and talk about. We would love doing that because we just found this gem that we could spend nearly 2 hours talking about and still feel like there was so much more to talk about it. So this has been your host, Benny,
And Nina.
and we'll see you at the next movie.
सजनी रे कैसे कटे दिन रात कैसे हो तुझसे बात तेरी याद सता